like to know Ron Hansen, who's here for the Yankee Old Timers game. Ron, I'd like to thank you for giving us your time.
It's been a pleasure, and my pleasure to be here.
Ron, if we could start at the beginning, and if you tell us a little bit about where you were born and raised, and about your family, and how you were introduced to baseball.
Well, I was born in Nebraska, and my parents moved to California when I was less than 2 years old, so I was really raised in California. I played baseball in California, and as you know, the weather there permits you to play mostly all year round, so I was a baseball nut probably from the time I was 5 or 6 years old. I liked the sport, and my father encouraged me to play, and I just played a lot and became fairly good at it, and eventually became a professional at it.
Did you have little leagues out there, et cetera?
Well, we had leagues, but I don't think they were little leagues at that time. That dates my age a little bit. I don't think they were called little leagues then, but we did have leagues for kids, and of course I played.
Okay. And you played any
baseball? Well, I originally was a third baseman, and signed with the Baltimore Orioles organization, I signed as a third baseman, and it was probably a very lucky move for me that I got moved to shortstop early in my career, because Baltimore had a pretty good third baseman there at that time. And so my career as a shortstop became good, and I played 15 years in
high school. So you were scouted in high school?
Yes, I was scouted in high school and signed out of high school.
Okay, could you tell us what the deal was, and how much did they give you to sign?
Well, I at the time that I signed, there were no bonuses in effect then.
Right.
The rule at that particular time was if you received any kind of a bonus, you had to stay with the Major League club that year, and they had a couple bonus players on their club, so I didn't receive any bonus. I signed and wanted to play, and I wanted to play.
How did your folks feel about that?
Well, my father and mother were very happy that I was doing something that I wanted to do. They were very encouraging, and it worked out good. Didn't make much money, but it worked out good.
What kind of work did you do?
My father was working in a foundry. He was a laborer in a foundry.
Right. Now, where was your first minor league experience?
My first experience in pro ball, I was sent to the California State League in Stockton, and played most of the full year there in Stockton. From that point, I went to play winter ball that year, and the following year, I wanted to open the season with Baltimore.
So you only spent how many years in the minors?
Well, the first series in Baltimore, I broke my hand, and I was out 6 weeks. I hit by a pitch. So
when you were in the minors, any particular instruction that they gave you at that point? What kind of things were they focusing on?
Well, pretty much everything, I guess, because after the first year I signed as a third baseman, I was moved to a shortstop. So when I moved to shortstop, I had a lot of instruction because I had never played there, either in amateur baseball or professionally. So we had a coach in the Baltimore system named Jimmy Adair, and Jimmy was in winter ball with me and in spring training, and gave me all the instruction that he could give me on the position.
How would you characterize yourself as a hitter?
Well, I was not a great hitter, but I think that I was a good hitter in the clutch. Got base hits, it seemed like, when important, and drove in some big runs. But as far as average, I was not a good everyday average, high average hitter.
Do you remember the day where you were, how it happened, that you found out you were going up to the big leagues?
Well, I played winter ball my first year, and got invited to spring training with the Orioles. And at the end of spring training, Paul Richards was the manager and called me into his office and said that they were taking me north and that I was going to open the season in Baltimore. I was extremely happy about that.
How old were you at that time?
I was about 19 or 20, I guess, at that time. So it was a thrill for me. And
you were probably one of the youngest players in the Major League.
Well, that I don't know.
Young.
That you'd probably have to look up
and
everything, but I was a youngster, I know that.
What about your first game? What do you remember about that?
Well, I don't really remember a lot about it, except that I was excited, and it was a big thrill playing in front of a lot of people.
Remember who, which pitcher you were facing, and anything about the game?
If I remember right, I think it was against the Yankees, and the pitcher I don't remember.
Uh-huh. And the butterflies were there.
Of course, and it was, of course, a full house and overflow crowd, and it being an opening day, and it was a great experience.
Which were some of the guys on the team at that time? That was
1958 when I opened the season in Baltimore. And, they had George Kell was there as the third baseman. Brooks, of course, was there. Bob Niemann was there. I think Gene Woodling was there at that time. And we had Bobby Boyd, some older player. And then, of course, they had some of the younger kids, Milt Pappas and Gus Triandos, a few of those guys, older guys.
And you were a 19-year-old kid, and these were some pretty established guys.
Well, I was.
How'd they treat you?
Well, they were great. They treated me well, and they almost looked after me since I was a youngster and just a kid.
Okay. I noticed after the first couple of years, you really began to play regularly out there.
Well, I did, as I said earlier, I broke my hand, and I was out for 6 weeks. I came back, went to the minor leagues. Came back at the end of the season, and the following year I also opened a season in Baltimore, but I was sent to Vancouver, AAA, in the Pacific Coast League. I played the whole season there. And 60 was my first full year with the Orioles.
What did you find the most difficult thing about the shortstop was?
I don't think there was anything particularly difficult about the position. The thing that I really liked about it was that you're involved in everything all the time. You're involved in steals, you're involved in double plays. I was very fortunate when I came to the big leagues, even as young as I was, they let me call my own plays and call the coverages and call the outfield stuff. And so I was very young. I learned quickly, I guess, and that was the thing that I remember. It wasn't so much difficulty of playing, it was just that you were involved in everything and you had to know about a lot of things.
Right. Now, of course, shortstop, second base, combination, certain chemistry. Any particular second baseman who you really clicked with?
Well, I started with Billy Gardner. Oh, I actually started with Billy Gardner.
Okay.
And then went from Billy Gardner to Marv Breeding and then Jerry Adair. And played with Nellie Fox when I was with the White Sox. And Donnie Buford, who had a pretty good career with the Orioles. I played with him in 1 year, and a couple others, and I had some good second basemen.
How long would it take you to adjust the way a new second baseman would say?
Well, I don't think it was that difficult. Most of the things that you adjust to are fundamental things, and usually, in the course of a spring training, you can get it down pretty good.
Okay. Now, you were with Baltimore for 5-6 years?
Hey! How you doing, Ron?
Yes, I was.
Who was your manager at Baltimore?
Well, I played for Paul Richards in Baltimore, and I like Paul. Paul was a good man. I learned a lot from him, and he's a good baseball guy.
Give me one or two things that you remember learning from him.
Well, I think because of my size, I was an uncommon type shortstop.
Being larger in size,
yes,
than most,
six,
a little bit hulkier than
6'4" and 200
right,
pounds,
yeah.
And shortstops in that era, especially, there were no big shortstops other than probably Marty Marion. And I was kind of an uncommon type shortstop in that because of my size. And Paul was very, very good with me, and he would talk to me about making plays in the hole and different things. Because of my size, it was a little more difficult for me.
What do you think of Cal Ripken?
Well, times have changed now, and there are a lot of more big shortstops, and Ripken's probably one of the biggest.
That's right, absolutely. Okay, you got traded to the White Sox.
I did, 1962. I was after the 62 season, I was traded to Chicago with Hoyt Wilhelm and Pete Ward for Louis Aparicio and Al Smith.
Okay.
And I enjoyed my time in Chicago. I was there almost 9 years, and it was real good.
How would you compare playing in Baltimore versus Chicago as far as fans or just in general?
I don't know about comparison. I had made my home in Baltimore and just built a house when I was traded.
Okay.
And that was to be my permanent home. And so basically, I was probably a little disappointed when I got traded, but when I got to Chicago and got around a lot of those guys, because they had a lot of veterans there, Nellie Fox and Lawler and Landis and those type of guys. Bill Scourin was there one of the years I played there. And when I got around those guys, it was very easy, and I liked playing there, and Al Lopez was a manager there, and he was great to play for.
Okay. How would you describe him as compared to Richards?
Well, they were both good managers, both catchers, I guess, when they played. And I don't know if the strategy was particularly similar, but they were both good managers and good to play for.
Where did you usually play in the batting order?
Well, I hit usually anywhere from fifth to eighth.
How are you doing?
Okay. I noticed that occasionally they played you at second base. How did you find that?
Well, later on in my career, I did play some second base, and I did switch back and play some third base. I didn't mind playing second base at all. It was a fairly easy position for me to adjust to. I like shortstop the best, probably because I played there so many years, but the adjustment between the two was not that difficult, and fortunately it was fairly easy for me to turn a double play from the other side, so I really didn't have any problems with it.
Would you say one was a more difficult position, or just that one was different than the other?
I don't think they're more difficult. I just think they're different. One is different from the other.
Okay. From an individual point of view, any one or two games that stand out in your mind?
Well, I think that I probably remember probably most the All-Star games, the two All-Star games I played in, one here in New York and one in Kansas City, and being on the ball clubs with the Mantles and Ted Williams and playing against Willie Mays and Aaron and those kind of things kind of stick in your mind. And when you play with and against such great players as that, those memories are nice to have.
Was that the year when the National League was dominating the All-Star
games? That was a couple years in there. They did dominate. Yeah.
What was the attitude of the players of the All-Star game? Was it really, let's go out and win, or is it just the camaraderie type of thing?
No, I think it was, we wanted to win. We wanted to win for the American League and show that the American League was the superior league, and I think it's that way now even.
Yeah, I think so. Any particular other game in the regular season as far as from your own personal career?
Not so many. There were a lot of games, I guess, but none that really come to my mind as being any one greater than the other at this point.
Now, we spoke, I just spoke to you before about the, you may be the last player to performed an unassisted triple play.
Well, that game, of course.
What do you remember about
that game? Of course, does stand out in my mind. I did make an unassisted triple play in 1968.
What was the setting?
There were men on first and second, and I was playing shortstop. We were playing in Cleveland, and there was a low line drive hit up the middle, which I caught, which made the hitter out. Came across the bag, which made the runner on second out, and the runner on first stopped and started to turn around and go, and I ran him down and tagged him. So it was the unassisted part of the triple play.
Right.
So, last one was made in 1927 by a fellow named Johnny Noon. And so mine was 40-some years later, and then now it's been 20-some years since that one. So
I believe, and before Johnny Noon, the one before that was actually the day before.
That's right.
2 days in a row, a triple play, and then we wait 20 more years.
The funny part of that thing is that Johnny Noon and myself both live in Baltimore. Of course, Johnny has passed away now, last year I believe it was. Mm-hmm. But we would meet occasionally, both at the ballpark and different affairs, and we'd talk about triple plays. And he had told me one time that the one that was made the day before his, they all talked about it and said, oh, there'll never be another one of those made. The next day he made one.
I think statistically it's millions to one.
But it's they're far, few and far between, supposedly.
Well, actually, at the time he made it, did you remember like saying to yourself, wow, this is a triple play, or was it sort of an automatic?
It was nothing that was pre-thought of or premeditated that I had thought of previously. When I first did it, I knew that it was a triple play, but I had no idea of the unassisted part and the rarity of being an unassisted part. And actually didn't know about the unassisted statistics and how many there were and how few and far between they are until probably the next day.
The guys saying anything on the bench or kidding around?
Oh, yeah, yeah. There was a lot of kidding and a lot of messing around and a lot of... That happened actually for 2 or 3 days. And then, of course, later on that week, in fact, from Cleveland, we went to Detroit and I hit a grand slam off of Pat Dobson. The following day, I was traded. So within about 3 days there, it was a big week.
Well, that's really funny. A lot happened to you. Looking back at your career, which hitters that you saw impressed you the most?
Well, I played probably in an era with Williams when Ted was probably at the end part of his career. I played in the last game. I was a shortstop in the last game that he hit the home run the last day of his career.
Right.
Which now that you bring that up, that's right.
Okay.
It was about a 10-minute ovation, and he wouldn't come out of the dugout.
Right.
And it was another game that I remember well. And
where did you position yourself against the Warriors?
Well, we didn't. I played Ted probably right up the middle. We didn't really pull a switch on him at that point, but with him, I never really worried about him hitting the ball to my right because he never really tried to hit in that hole over there. He went up and had the same Ted Williams swing most all the time. He wouldn't compromise his swing for base hits. That was true.
Right. And he still hit.
I saw him not too long ago, and he probably still could hit if he was playing.
That's what they say, the 10-20 eyesight.
Yeah.
And, of course, they probably saw DiMaggio.
Joe was a little bit before my time, but I did play with and against Mantle and those side players that were here in New York then, and that was a thrill also.
Okay. What about pitchers you had to face, which... who impressed you most and did the most difficult, maybe two or three?
Whitey Ford always kids me about getting me out, and he could. I was an easy out for him, I guess. And he kids me about it, and I kid him back about how I could hit him, but I really never did, and he was tough for me. And of course, there were, as I said earlier, I was not a real good average hitter. There were, hitting never came really easy for me, like the 300.
What was your philosophy or approach to hitting when you went out to the plate?
Well, I think that I studied hitting probably as much as anybody, but I just didn't have the ability to hit or whatever like other people. But I didn't really have a philosophy. I guess I wanted to see the ball good and let my natural instincts take over. And I think looking back on it that if I would have probably used the whole field more so than being the bull hitter that I was, I would have been a higher average hitter.
Did they ever encourage you to hit the off fields? Or
no, I was a home run type hitter, I guess, so to speak. I had some power, and I think a lot of managers that I played for had RBI ability, and they were happy with driving in runs and hitting home runs. And not so much with hitting for high average.
In what way do you see the game different today as when you played it?
Well, I think it has changed a lot basically because of AstroTurf, maybe. I think you see a difference in the game because of the type of fields you play on now.
Did you ever play on AstroTurf?
1 year in Chicago I played where they had just the AstroTurf infield.
How'd you like it?
It was great. Yeah, it was great for fielding and great for defense.
True bounce.
Yeah, and maybe I'd even hit a little more if I was playing.
How about your legs and all that?
They were fine, but everything was great leg-wise. But again, I never really played on it that much. Not much of my career to really have it affect me.
Okay, as all careers do, yours came to an end. How did that happen?
Well, I was playing in Kansas City my last year, the year that I got finished my career. And just at a point where I wasn't playing, I was a utility type player at that point. I wasn't playing a real lot, and you could kind of sense it was coming. I played 15 years in the American League, and I was at an age when it was probably time for me to think about retiring. Yeah.
So you were let go, or you?
Yeah, I was released from the Kansas City club, and I never hooked on with anybody else. I was given offers by a couple other clubs to play, but I just felt it was my time to kind of maybe get on the rest of my life. So that's what I did.
How old were you at that point?
I think I was probably about 36 or so, if I
remember.
What was the lowest your entering salary, and what was your salary when you left?
Well, my salary, the first year I was in the big leagues, I made $6,000. With the Orioles, and my last salary, I don't really remember what.
Okay.
So.
Would you care to tell us what you've been doing since you stopped playing?
Well, I eventually became a coach with the Milwaukee Brewers, and coached there for 6 years, and then
How did you like that experience?
I like it. I like being on the field, and I like coaching, and it was great. And then I went with the Montreal Expos and coached in the National League for 6 years.
Okay.
And
mostly
first base, and that was my first stint in the National League, and I enjoyed it very much. And 2 years ago, I just took a job with the Yankees, and I do their Major League scouting.
Did you find as a coach, people talk about modern players today, and if you gave suggestions, you find them receptive, or does it depend from player to player?
Well, I was very fortunate in the time that I coached that I had great players. I had Paul Molitor and Robin Yount and Jimmy Gantner and Cecil Cooper as I was an infield instructor, a coach. And I had those kind of guys when I coached at Milwaukee. And when I got to Montreal, I had guys like Tim Wallach and Andres Galarraga and Owen and those type of people. And so I was very fortunate that I got people that were very good and very receptive to the things
I said.
How
did it usually work? Did they come to you, or did you go to them, or did it work a little bit both ways?
Well, it's a little bit of both ways. Right. I think that if I saw something, I could go to them and say something, and as I said, they were very receptive. If they felt that they were struggling a little bit or having problems, they might come to me, and I would say something, or we would make some changes. But it was a two-way street. It worked both ways.
Now, as far as the scouting is concerned, are you assigned to the minor league?
No, I do Major League scouting. I have the American League East and the National League East. So
Are you like the advanced scout for the Yankees?
No, I don't. Okay. I don't do
I guess probably. How would you describe your role?
I guess probably my role is for the purpose of trades and free agency. For the Major League club.
You're told what to look for and...
Occasionally, yeah. If somebody they want me to see or something that they want done, they'll call me and tell me to go follow somebody or stay with the club for a couple weeks. If not, I have my own schedule and I see a lot of ball games during the year.
Would you care to say if you were instrumental in any recent transactions?
Well, I'd rather not
say
anything that has to do with the ball club at this time.
I can understand that. If we could summarize, if you had to do it all over again, would you do anything different?
In my career as a hitter, I would probably, as I said earlier, try to use the whole field in hitting more. As a fielder, I was primarily noted as a defensive player. I don't think there'd be a whole lot that I would change, and in coaching or scouting, probably nothing that I would change. It's been I've been very lucky in that.
And if you were to give any words of advice or suggestion to young minor league players or kids who have aspirations to play ball, what suggestion would you give as far as baseball and life in general?
I think that if you believe that you have the talent to play, that you should proceed in those lines, and I think that hard work and play as much as you can, because I don't think there's any thing that beats the experience of playing in ball games. I think that good coaching helps. I think that people can tell you about certain ways to do things and certain things that change you to make you a little bit better, but the actual experience of playing the ball games themselves are what really it determines how good you're going to be, and I think the more you play, the better you'll get.
What if a youngster had a chance, got a college scholarship, versus playing in the minor leagues?
Well,
how would you evaluate that?
I think that strictly depends on the player. I really believe that everybody should have an education, and that college is an important and a very important thing. But I also believe that if a person, a player, has an extremely a lot of talent, that sometimes maybe that 2 or 3 years that he can play professional baseball instead of college ball might be better than being in college. And the way the money is now and the amount that they pay young players, I think that maybe if you're a very talented player, that's the way to go.
as you're suggesting that, of course, we're generalizing that. Maybe the coaching and training at the minor league level would be a little bit more professional than at the college level.
Well,
depending on...
Yeah, that again depends on what college you go to and so on. But I think, again, that the playing experience, you're playing with professionals and you're playing a lot of ball games, and you're getting coaching every day playing ball games, and you're going to play in a minor leagues probably 140 or 150 or 170 games.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the experience that you need when you're a youngster.
Do you have any children? Are they involved with baseball?
No, I have two girls. They're both grown, and they're fans, but they like baseball, but they're never involved in it.
Because you remember the fact that you were an ex-major leaguer, has that involved you with things in the community, et cetera?
Well, it has and it hasn't. Most of my life I've been traveling, so the community part of my life has not been... great at being around home a lot, because as you know, when you're involved in baseball, especially in a major league level, you leave in February and you don't get home till October, so that cuts kind of a lot of the community things out. But I try to do some things around home, and it works out pretty good.
You seem to be pleased with what you're doing, but if you had your wish, is there any particular professional goal that you would have?
No, I've been very fortunate and done the things that I've wanted to do, and been fortunate. I had a long career, and I stayed in baseball and worked for some good organizations, some good people, and been very happy with it, and I'm very happy now. And baseball's been very good to me.
Ron, it's really been a pleasure to talk to you, and I'd really like to thank you for your time.
It's been a pleasure to talk to you, and I've enjoyed it.
Thank you. here with okay, Ali Clark, if we could start at the beginning, if you could tell us a little bit about where you were born and raised and how you, your family, and how you were first exposed to baseball.
Well, I was born in South Amboy, New Jersey, which is about a 45-minute ride from the Yankee Stadium, but it's over in the Jersey side.
Mm-hmm.
And I got started in South Amboy High School, St. Mary's High School.
Mm-hmm.
And that was 1941.
Did they have anything like Little League baseball or anything like
that? Well, no, we did not. That's where I say the Little Leaguers today, they got all the bricks in the world. They got new bats. We didn't have that stuff.
Right. Did you play like on the streets or in sandlots before high school?
Well, we had sandlots before high school.
Right.
And we had tape balls and tape bats.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, we got graduated a little bit, went to high school. We had a little better equipment.
Right. Yeah. What positions did you play in high school?
Well, I was a second baseman in high school.
Okay.
And I went to shortstop.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went to World War II, and I got a little heavy. So when I come out, they sent me to Newark Bears in '46.
Okay, now this was just after being in high school ball, I sent it to you?
Well, Eastern Maryland, that was Class D I went first in 1942.
Okay, so...
41, excuse me. And I went to Norfolk, Virginia, Piedmont League in 42.
Well, let's see, you were in the service from what years?
43 to 46.
Oh, okay, so the service you went to...
Eastern Maryland.
Okay, you were scouted in high school?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And my scout was Paul Critchell. I was an old-time scout.
Okay.
Yeah.
That was the Yankee organization.
Yeah.
And would you mind telling us what terms he signed you?
$250.
$250. Yeah. So that was probably considered pretty run-of-the-mill in those days.
Yeah.
How'd your parents feel about that?
Well, they feel well. My father didn't live to see me play ball, but my mother, she enjoyed it.
She encouraged you to do
that?
Okay, so you went down to Easton?
Easton, Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, I went to Norfolk, Virginia.
They kept you in the infield?
Yeah.
All right. And how'd you do down there?
Well, I hit, I think it was 320.
Mm-hmm.
And I graduated to Class B, Norfolk, Virginia, the Piedmont League.
Right.
And I had 328 there.
What kind of instruction did you get back in the minors? Were you more or less left on your own, or were they...
No, they had some good old timers.
Mm-hmm. What kind of things did they focus you on in those days?
Well, they just they try to what I'm talking about. They try to make a hitter out of you. Nobody can make a hitter out of you. I don't think so.
Right.
They can tell you where to play the infield or something like that.
Right.
But that's, how to steal, all the fundamentals of baseball.
Okay. Yeah. You were primarily a fastball hitter? Or?
Well, I tried to hit everything. I was.
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Now, then you went into service in 42.
Yeah, I came out in 46.
Mm-hmm. Did you play ball in the service at all?
No. Okay. Just, practice everything. You know.
Right. Were you overseas, combat?
Yeah. Well, I was over in Germany, and I was over in France, Belgium, or something like that.
Okay,
yeah.
So then you came back, and what happened next?
Well, I went down to Sebring, Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Then that was all Newark, and, if you're going to make the Newark baseball, Newark Bears.
Well, that was pretty high. That was AAA, I guess, called there, right?
Yeah.
How about your skills? How old were you at that point?
Oh, 19, I guess. I came right out of the
show. Oh, okay. So you don't have any trouble as far as getting into shape or anything like that?
No.
Okay.
No.
Who was on the Newark Bears at that time?
Well, it's Bobby Brown. That's where we're going tomorrow.
Uh-huh.
And Yogi Berra. That's
right.
They were the main guys, yeah.
Uh-huh. And Newark was pretty high up?
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Hey,
get the ball.
Go ahead.
Okay. So how long did you stay with Newark?
1 year, year and a half.
How'd you do there?
Pretty good. I hit 342,
uh-huh.
46.
Right.
And part of 47 I had pretty,
Okay.